You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
If you'll fill this out and drop it in that purple box that's on the table where you came in, we'd appreciate it. What this will do, let us send you our newsletter, keep you posted, things going on with Loops. Bless you. And also things that's going on at the rec room, and just kind of keep you, especially if you're from out of town, and if you're in town, we want you to have it also. But if you're in Clover House, we've asked you here what the date is when you get out of Clover House, because that's when we're going to start sending you in the newsletter. As long as you're in town, you just pick it up at the rec room or in one of our classes in Clover House, and we can save that postage and save some of God's money. That purple box also has another function. That function is called the Rec Room Assistance Fund. We don't pass the plate here. We don't take collection. But if you want to help, let me restate that. If you'd like to get a blessing, just give to somebody in the rec room. Every dollar goes into that box, goes to people. It doesn't go for coffee. It doesn't go for Cokes. It doesn't go for cakes. It goes to help somebody. It may just be enough money to get an ID. It may be enough money to get some medicine. But if you have a need, we have three ex-inmates that handle that money. One is gone tonight. Two of them are here. Pam sitting down here, fanning herself. Pam, you look like you're in one of them old country churches. Old school. And then back at the back, Rick, who's running the camera. All we need is two out of three, and that's what we've got. So if you have a need, check with them. If you want a blessing, let me tell you, God's not broke. And we're not going to beg you for $1.298. But I can tell you now, you'll never outgive Him. You'll just not outgive God. And so if you want to help somebody, maybe you've been the recipient of that. We're getting ready to go into a program called Angel Tree. Most of you are familiar with the Angel Tree program. It's a program that started by Prison Fellowship for the children of inmates. And that somebody would get a gift for that child, and it would be from the daddy or mother that was in prison. Now, Prison Fellowship started that program about 24 years ago. 22 years ago, I got involved. I remember the first time, actually the gifts came from a church in Waco, Texas, that the Prison Fellowship representative brought down to the Big Spring Federal Prison, gave them to me for kids in Odessa. And I didn't have 8 kids. Now there's 500 or more. But we've done that program for years to help, and it's such a thrill. It's probably most for our girls in the office. It is work intensive, I'm telling you, but it is so much fun. But the first time we had that, I'm going to take a little of your time now. The first time we did that in a church, there we didn't have 50 kids. We had about 46 kids, and that was a total in Odessa. But I'd been trying to run them down every year and couldn't find them, have to make 3 trips. And so I said, you know what, if we'll do the gifts and put them at the church, they'll come get them. And sure enough, they did. And I made 2 big mistakes that year. Having been an old promoter, I went out and got Channel 7 to come and see how good a job we was going to do. And when those cameras came in the side door, everybody in there went on the table. We never did that again. Okay. Second mistake we made, this was back before computers or before we had computers. There was a guy in federal prison who gave us the name of his wife and kids and his lover and her kids. And they come to the same party because that's the only party in town. I have never been so chewed out in my life. That wife got a hold of me. I told Linda, I'm never doing Angel Tree again. It's... Boy. And for about 3 or 4 years, she had three of the cutest kids you've ever seen, and she had them spit and polished every time they came to an Angel Tree program. A guy finally got out of prison. They got a divorce. She got remarried. She got saved during that time, by the way. Started going to church. Met a guy in church. And they got married. And one morning at our house, somebody knocked on the door and went to the door, and there was Geneva. She said, Leland, she said, you've heard I got married. I said, yes, I have, and congratulations. And she said, for years you have my three kids. She said, now we want to take three kids. And then, back then it was $35 a kid. She handed me a check for $105. That's what it's all about. Going around, coming around, getting help, helping, getting help, helping. And so that time is coming again. And but if you want to be part of a blessing, learn to give. Just to share with somebody what God's done for you. And if you have a need, then you let us know about that need. You don't need to be macho. You don't need to be so tough that you can handle it. If you have a need, then if we can, we want to help. That's what the fund's for. It's not a savings account. It's a spending account, which has always been the kind I've ever had. You know, just spend it. There wasn't many things I listened to my daddy about, but my daddy said one time, the only thing you can do with money is spend it. And I took that right then and took off with it. But anyhow, do that. Also help us with the butt cans. Don't put paper goods and stuff in there if you would. We've got a trash barrel out here. We've got one at this door as you came in over here on the side. We've got them at the back, back there where you like to get your goodies. So please, use one of those. And pour out the liquid that's in those cups, if you will, before you put them in the trash. If you'll help us with that, because folks stay up here just like they get here early to try to get everything set up. They stay here late trying to get things cleaned up. Don't forget Saturday morning, breakfast, 9 o'clock. Now, again, I'm not going to get to be here because, and I want those of you to pray for us. They're having a criminal justice awareness meeting in Dallas, Texas, and a guy called me and said, would you come and take time on the program to tell us how to do a recreant? And so that's what we're going to be doing. And so we're looking forward to that. I feel honored to be able to do that. So it's something that's spread with some people. And so just pray for us. We're taking one of those long trips. We're going on Friday and coming back Saturday. But anyway, we're looking forward to being with that. Now we're going to have some great music, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit.
Amen. Still a little child.
when she laid him in a manger, he was still her little child. The angel called him Savior, he was still her little child. When the wise men gave him treasure, he was still her little child. While the shepherds bowed before him, a star shone all the while. When the angel called him Savior, he was still a little child. When influence, dream, and wisdom, her little child. When he spoke, the people listened. Still her little child. And when he healed the lame and dying, they would follow him for miles. When he grew in strength and wisdom, he was still her little child. When the people turned against him, he was still her little child. When they shouted, crucify him, he was still her little child. And when they nailed him to a wooden cross, then we were reconciled. And when she held his broken body, he was still her little child. He was still her little child.
Any Bibles tonight? Y'all better get that. Galatians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians and then Galatians. New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you'd like to have one to follow along with us, because we're going to read about 10 verses tonight, maybe refer to some other verses. If you'd like to have a Bible, would you lift your hand? All right, here's one down here. Anybody else need? Here's one over here. We got Bibles. They're coming. Anybody else need a Bible? Galatians chapter 6. He said, brethren, by the way, this book was written to a group of churches in an area called Galatia. It wasn't in a town. Galatia was not a town. It was a big area with cities in it, like West Texas, as it were. And he's writing to the churches. Paul is there, and he said it, brethren, and he's writing to Christian people. I want you to keep this in mind, because Paul will go from one, and probably the word extreme is not good worded, maybe it is, but he will be soft and he'll be hard and he'll be kind and he'll be harsh, and he'll go from one to the other, dealing with Christian people. Primarily, this is what it's about. But some of the principles are laid down, like in so many things in the Bible, to everybody. So he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and it doesn't say if you catch him in sin. I've heard people try that. So this is not what you're talking about. The difference between sin and a fault is this. My fault is I'm bad about stealing. That's why the Bible said, confess your faults one to another. Pray for me about that. I got a problem with stealing. If I'm confessing my sin, then I'm saying I stole Johnny's billfold. That's a whole different thing. And leaves me open, and if I give that to one of you, if I tell Doug that, then now Doug can blackmail me. Say, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to tell her that you stole Johnny's billfold. See? We confess our faults one to another. We confess our sins to who? God. He's the only one doing anything about it anyway. So he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, I'm just going to read through and then come back, because I never will get through it if I stop and copy it on everything. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now then, we'll go back and talk about those verses. Notice he said, restore him. Help him to get up. If a man be overtaken in a fault, got a drug problem, help him. Got a drinking problem, help him. Got a lying problem. Heaven. Restore such a one. And he said, in the spirit of meekness. Not, I can't believe you did that. In the spirit of meekness. Why? Because it could have been you. Let me tell you. They just two kind of people in the world. It's those that's been to prison and them that should have gone. Back when I first started to fly, And as I was graduating up and started flying a retractable gear airplane, the guy really made me feel good. He said they just two kind of pilots that fly retractable gear airplanes. And I said, what's that? And he said, those that landed with the gear up and those it's going to. Wasn't as bad as the other guy told me. He said, there are old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. So, he said, lest we are tempted ourselves. What goes around comes around. Remember that. Then he said to help each other. Verse 2 said, bear you one another's burdens. Now, you're going to see a conflict between verse 2 and verse 5. Verse 5 said, for every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 2 said, bear ye one another's burdens. And it's try to help them, and this doesn't mean enable them. You're not helping anybody when you enable them. And I'm going to tell you, that's hard to do when they're family. Mama. That's hard to do when they're close friends. Mama. To be tough about that. He said, help one another. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I want you to notice that. We have a whole group of television preachers. We have a whole group of people writing books and psychologists talking about how good man is. And notice that Paul said, you're nothing. Nada. Zip. Nothing. we could go on this. Or, because John said it, and Job said it, and we hear it over and over again by Paul. He said, when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, there is no value. Somebody said, well, you know, said, God wouldn't save you if you hadn't been worth something. I'll tell you something about that. The reason God saved us is because of His goodness, not mine and your goodness. He loved us enough to reach down and save us. God loves us because of who He is, not because of who we are. All we like sheep have gone astray. None. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, now, you know, I see t-shirts. God didn't make no junk. I know He didn't, but didn't take Adam and Eve long to turn it into junk. See, keep this in. I get a lot of letters from inmates because we have Bible studies that we send out. And this one guy just got very upset with me because I made the statement that there wasn't any value in man, that we were totally depraved. And he said, the Bible said that God created us in His own image. I said, no, it didn't. It said He created Adam in His own image, but if you read on, and this is a problem with so many of us, we quit studying before God quits teaching. See, we need to go on. You don't get through the third grade and say, well, maybe that's it. Give me my diploma. In the fifth chapter of Genesis, it says that we are in the image of Adam. Every son he had was sin infested because he failed in the Garden of Eden. So he's in Adam. We're in Adam's image. So he said, bear you one another's burden. Fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself is something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He's going to mention that again. And I've said this, because a guy told me one time, I'll never forget this. And he said, Leland, it's bad enough for you to lie to other people, but it's worse when you start lying to yourself. And I was very bad about that. And I didn't realize that it came right out of the Bible, what he was telling me. He deceived himself. Then he said, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Do your business. You get it done. Don't depend on everybody else. Most of you have found out that not anybody going to take care of you. If you want to know how many people really go to battle for you, look at, see who put money out here when you was in your commissary. See who was really, it's amazing. We fight against the family all the time and they can't tell us what to do, but the first ones we want to put money in our commissary is family. Hey, Mama, I need something. Like a baby Ruth. Mama. Then verse 5 said, every man shall bear his own burden. If nobody bears your burden, then just gut up and bear it. Every man shall... See, we are always concerned about what somebody else is doing. I was just reading recently in my daily Bible readings, but at the end of the book of John, Jesus is talking to him and he's telling the disciples different things. This is after his resurrection. And Peter said, what about John? What about this guy? What's he going to do? And Jesus, he said, what difference does that make to you? In essence, he said, Peter, that's not in your business. He said, if I decide for this guy to stay here till I come back. Now, that's not what he said. He didn't say he was going to. He just said, if he were, it's still not in your business. And the word got out, John's going to stay here till Jesus comes back. Because we start talking about it, and you've played the gossip game. If it goes from one to another, it gets embellished. Mama. Now, we don't gossip in Baptist churches. We call it prayer requests. Be sure and pray for Mildred.
My Lord.
I just can't go into it tonight. And mine start. I mean, we got everything from embezzlement to child abuse going on. Okay. Every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Who do you communicate with? We're very familiar with this word communication. We talk about communicating all the time. It's in our classes and our studies. Who do you communicate with? And what do you communicate about? See, do you communicate with people that know Jesus Christ? Do you talk about Jesus Christ? One of the things that we did years ago when we went into the federal prison on what we call a little 8-step card, we still give them out as Bible markers. And said, talk to somebody about Jesus every day. And I'm not talking about talking to a lost person. I'm talking about talking to anybody. About hang around people you can talk to about Jesus. And let me say this, if you start talking about Jesus, you won't have to separate. They'll separate from you. Them folks won't hang around you. See? But who do you communicate with and what do you communicate about? Now, one thing, it's pretty well left our vocabulary and our discussion in the last few weeks is Dallas Cowboys. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's baseball fans. Yeah. And that's looking kind of bleak. But look at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Here's that be not deceived again. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If there's anything I've learned, it's you can't con God. We've conned a lot of people. Some of us, it was a few years I made a living at it. But you can't con God. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Oh, we can laugh at Him. We can ridicule those that try to live for Him. We can make fun. We call Him old fogey. But I'm telling you, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a law just like gravity. You drop something, everything that goes up comes down. See? There's a law out there. Nobody sows oats and gets apple trees. You don't sow wheat and get watermelons. Whatever you sow, that... Now, this is to Christian people. This is to folks that are going to heaven. They've been saved. I mean, a lot of us carry some scars from that. And a lot of us are going to carry some more of them. Let me say this. And I invariably get myself in trouble with a lot of different people about the things I say. But I heard Brother Doug say one time, I've always liked this. I can't say it as well as he said it. But he said, I don't care. And I know these are not your words exactly, but he said, I don't care how mad you get at me if I just help you get to heaven. I got a letter last week from a guy, and I could call his name. Many people in here know him. That we've been friends long time. I've helped him with the sheriff, with the judge, with the prosecuting attorney, the DA, worked at getting papers signed for him. And he sent me our newsletter back and said, don't ever send me another. Because I questioned his interpretation of a scripture. And I interpreted it a different way. And in fact, I wrote him back. I said, why are you mad at me? All I did was ask you a question about this. Now you're mad at me. We're supposed to be friends. Can't friends disagree agreeably? Yeah. I've got relatives. Come out. Well, you ought not have said that. You're going to hurt somebody's feeling. Don't you realize that's not right? No, it was right. That's why it hurt your feelings. See? I'm going to tell you, most people don't care about you lying about them. It's when you tell the truth on them they get upset. My goodness. But, don't talk. I've got guys that we were this close when they were serving time. And because I said something about one of the TV moguls, all of a sudden, well, I don't think you ought to do that. I think you need to spend your time trying to win souls instead of talking about Rick Warren. I will guarantee you this, that there's more time trying to get people saved in the rec room every week than there is in his entire ministry. And I know that was in the ministry of the guy that did it. He just quit giving. Now, you see that I've lost a lot of weight over that. What I'm saying is that everything is out here. If you don't do like I want you to do, I'm mad at you. I don't like you anymore. I won't shake your hand. I don't care about you. And in each one of those cases, let me tell you what, I got one question. Did I tell the truth? And in every case, they couldn't say, you lied about this. Now, when it comes to Bible interpretation, maybe truth as I see it. They might differ with that. But didn't lie about it. Didn't lie what I thought about it. Didn't lie about what some of these people had done. Why do we get upset about that? Be not, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. 25 years ago, I started going in, over 25 now. If I live to January, it'll be 26. Started going into Big Spring Federal Prison and did not want to go. I wished I could tell you that God answered my prayer and I got to go into prison. What I can tell you is I tried every way in the world to get out of it. I never knew it was a ministry until Linda and I got kicked out of prison. Now, I don't know of anybody else that would get upset about that. Everybody I know wants to get kicked out of prison. But for the first time in my life, I realized. And we got kicked out of prison for picking up a lady at visitation and taking her to the airport so she'd come to visit her daddy and so she could fly back to California. That was our crime. And I remember sitting in my living room. I never knew that it meant that much to me until it wasn't there anymore. And I couldn't go. And I'm not a real emotional person. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. But I get emotional about that. I realized for the first time then that I needed that in my life. I needed those guys. It just so happened that I was going into prison that had a bunch of important people in prison. And they started writing letters. One of them wrote two senators that were friends of his. We got back in prison. And let me tell you, from that day on, that's been our life. We've not taken a vacation. We've not taken a cruise. We've not been gone from home longer than 5 days, but we've been from Delhart Unit to Ramsey 2 down there below Houston. We've been to the last island prison in the United States, McNeil Island, right out of Seattle, Washington. We've been to a lot of places to the awareness deals. We've been from Delhart to Longview to Houston to Corpus. We've been to Three Rivers. I didn't even know where Three Rivers was. To El Paso. I think I got a heart for Priscilla. So don't tell me I'm mad at you if I get on you. I just want to see you make it. And I know this, that if you keep on doing, somebody, what you're doing, God is not mocked. And you're going to have to sow what you reap. And I can tell you it's not fun because I've had to sow some of what I've reaped. Or reap what I've sowed. I've got scars from that. And I would like to keep my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids from going through that. I'd like to keep you from going through it. I'm not trying to live your life. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to help you get to heaven and get to heaven joyfully. I'd like to see you live a good life every day. But in order to do it, we're going to have to do some things for God, and we can't just play with Him. This is not a game. Hear me, people. The love of God is in His Son. Be careful with His Son. Oh, don't try to mock God. Notice, and I guess then I'm going to have to skip a verse just because of time. He said down in verse 9, He said, don't be weary. He said, for we're glad. I've already, the wind's blown me from out of where I was. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap the pain. Now, let me tell you. Somebody said, Leland, you ever want to quit? Yes, sir. Yeah. My only hope, he said, we'll reap if we faint not. I'm looking for that reason. I want to see some more people saying.
Amen.
I'm not interested in a lot of religious things, but I want to see souls saved. My wife will tell you that every week we pray that souls will be saved and lives will be changed.
Yes.
There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a happiness that comes only from Jesus Christ that you can have. There's no reason not to have it. It's available to anybody that wants it. That's what He's done for us. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want you to bow your heads. Well, your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here tonight. And first, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. What did He say? What we sow, we're going to reap. If we sow the Spirit, we shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm going to offer you life everlasting tonight through Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that he that believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you tonight to give thought. Have you trusted Him? Do you have everlasting life? If you don't, or if you don't know whether you do not, say, Lynn, I don't know. I need to talk to somebody. Doug's here. Johnny's here. We got folks that can talk to you. Would you come in a moment when we stand? Then there are those of you that somewhere 5, 10, 15 years ago, maybe while incarcerated, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but then you just got away from Him. It's always easier to go downhill. And you just got away from Him. Thank you. need to come home. And you know you do. And every day, in the back of your mind, you wonder, am I going to get caught up with? Why don't you solve that tonight? I want us to stand. While everyone stands, head bowed and eyes are closed, if you've never been saved, I want you to come tonight and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've been saved and you need to come and pray and get away from conning God, I want you to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, help me, forgive me. I want to get it back right. Would you come, as Charles sings, right now? Every hour. Come on now.
Oh, tender voice like yours can peace afford. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
We're going to sing one more verse just in a moment. And I'm not going to beg you to come, because then I'd have to beg you to stay. But if you mean business with God tonight, if you want to get some things solved, if you want to turn the page, get a clean page, if you want to know that you're going to heaven, would you come on this verse? This is the only verse we're going to sing. Come right now. Would you do it? Precious Heavenly Father, I pray that those that did not do what you wanted them to do will have another chance to do it. Father, we just pray for those that are lost, that their heart would be broken, they'd be convicted of sin and turn to your Son, the only one that can save them. I can't help them. The church can't help them. Water can't help them. Denomination can't help them. But your Son, Jesus Christ, can. You sent Him to die for sinners. Then, Father, for those that are your children, and I guess we live in a time when there's probably more miserable Christians than any other time that I've seen. People that are just angry and upset and have no faith and worried. Oh Lord, there's a peace that passes understanding with you. Help us to have it. Be with your people now. Go with us through another week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.